Have your thighs ever chafed? Chafe is no joke, but thanks to Mega Babe, it's also no problem. Mega Babe's Thigh Rescue glides onto skin so that chafe is a thing of the past. Experience what 10,000 five-star reviewers rave about at megababebeauty.com.
What's led to the recent increase in the number of people getting Botox? Is it Zoom, Instagram, the desire to stop the aging process? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. It's Laura Donnelly filling in this week for Sean Defoe, who's on leave. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Firstly, what is it? Botulinum toxin injections, Botox, relax the muscles in your face to smooth out lines and wrinkles such as crow's feet and frown lines. It's not permanent, it usually lasts for around 3 or 4 months. Previously, we may have thought of Botox as something a celebrity in their 50s, let's say, may have gone for. Now, men and women in their 20s, and in some cases younger, are regularly going under the needle. Anecdotally, I've seen more and more friends and colleagues get Botox, and a quick Google of Botox Dublin gives me 1.5 million results. Kerry Hanafy, an expert in the area who's an aesthetic nurse with clinics all across Dublin, told me in the case of her business, she's seeing that increase too.
Because I'm in the industry now 20 years this year. So when I first started out, it was all about lip fillers. And then my business grew when I met Barry at the time, because you need a prescriber to prescribe the product because it's a prescription medicine. So then he joined the team in 2016 and started doing maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 people a day, you know, and it was just people in their 40s maybe kind of predominantly were coming in for, you know, just improvement in their lines. But now, roll on, what's that now? 8 years later, he's doing 70 people a week. We have a team of 10 doctors all doing the same level. With 3 clinics now, and the growth within the clinic is definitely anti-wrinkle injections.
I asked Kerry what brings people in for treatment. It varies from those wanting a little tweak to more serious body issues.
It does vary. So like you get people that have been unhappy about something all their life, and that might be that their lip size is small or that their cheeks are flat. And we will do fillers, you know, for certain people, or people have significant weight loss, they still need fillers. But generally speaking now, we kind of look at your skin has 5 layers, and your outer layer is so important to protect and keep healthy that like regenerative medicine is huge now, and it's putting in any type of little injections, you know, be it a little bit of Botox, a little bit of polynucleotide, some Profilo, Factor 50, a mild skin peel. They're all healthy ways to look after your skin if done correctly, you know. Some people do want to come in and change how they look, but then obviously you're looking for red flags. There's certain, and it is a minority that really want to change themselves, and that tends to be more body dysmorphic and other issues that we deal with. But on a general scale, you're seeing just an everyday person, builders, loads of men. It's the builders, the solicitors, the couples come in as a day out.
For more on the reasons people want to alter how they look, I ask clinical psychotherapist Stephanie Regan.
Well, I think there's a few levels to that. You know, I often think it's quite interesting if people have a breakup, for example, in a relationship, or they have something maybe, you know, something quite hard to handle happen them, they often hit the hairdressers or the shops and they kind of go for a new look. So at a simplistic level, I think we can say there's definitely some level of coping mechanism going on in that. And I think if we take that, like there's a few levels to this, if you take that at to a further degree, if you have some deeper issues around, you know, your self-image, your body confidence, or even more, you know, deeper issues, again, there can be many other reasons that feed into that. Now, as well as that, I would say culturally, the way I think is culturally then you look around and you say, well, you know, we're in a totally anti-ageist society. We're in a you know, beauty and prettiness and sexiness has always been a currency. And I mean, if you go back to Egyptian times, they were, you know, painting their faces and adorning. So adorning and all of that is all part of us. And I think it's a very much a part of the fabric, our psychological kind of fabric. I suppose our psychological sexual fabric, if I could put it that way. People feel more attractive when they feel they are more attractive. So there's a quite a mishmash in there, I know, but I think culturally you can't take away from the fact that that people want always to look younger. They're now, of course, photosensitive in every way. 10 years ago, I would say I would have taken holiday photos. We'd have taken photos at Christmas. Now I take photos every day and I put them up on Instagram. And I've learned to take the angle, you know, and make sure don't go that way, don't go this way. And we're very conscious of it. And women have always been trying to look younger, stay younger, so the men don't run, you know, and go off with a younger version of yourself. So that's always been there. But I think society in general is also, you know, an organization and everything, quite anti-ageist. I see that as I moved into, you know, being 60. It's a different world and you have to push against it.
While there are many reasons for altering our looks, is another aspect of the increase the ease and speed with which you can now get Botox, for example, popping in on your lunch break, as Kerry Hanafy tells me.
It's funny, the suburb clinics now, City West, Swords, are nearly busier than town because people are working from home. They're coming in with their laptops. The laptops are on mute and they literally zoom in, get the treatment, and they're back in the car and they're back at home on a Zoom call, and nobody knows where you are and where you don't have to take a day off work anymore. You know, we don't have to do these really late clinics for people on their way home from work.
Maybe the popularity and the increase stems from lockdown times. We were on Zoom all day looking at our own faces. Or has it come from social media and the need for likes? According to a study by the American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeons, 42% of patients were seeking cosmetic procedures for improved selfies and photos on social media. Stephanie explains.
I remember in COVID, I was doing a lot of kind of contributing around COVID times. And just after COVID, and indeed during COVID, there was a survey done of surgeons, you know, plastic surgeons in the States. And they collectively had a 74% rise in requests for work. So what was going on there? And they surmised that what was going on was that people were looking at themselves more. So in COVID, it was all on Zoom because we were doing nothing but Zoom. And I suppose in the social media, that's the same kind of factor going on, that people are looking at themselves in detail. So I think if you look at, you know, the way the world is going, as you say, with social media, the image, the predominance of the image. And if you marry that with any frailty in yourself, and we're all frail in ways, you know, it's not that I think people have a problem in order to be having Botox. I think it's a hugely developed area. People always did these things, you know, they went for special treatments and all of that, but they hid them. Now they've become very socially acceptable. Personally, I'm a bit of a needle phobe, so I don't even like needles, so there is no chance I'll be doing it. But maybe if they found a little patch or something, I might look at that. The thing is, it's become acceptable and chattable. You know, we can talk about it. I don't look at people who have Botox and think, you know, why are you doing that to yourself? I think, you know, fair play, you look great, you know, and if it helps you to feel great, I have no problem. Of course, no problem with that. But I think it is, it's becoming extremely acceptable. And I think it is. Now, I do worry about teenagers, I have to be honest. I think your image is very frail and very tender in those years. And they're navigating all that change. And now they're intervening at their most vulnerable time. I'm delighted I never had to deal with that with children, because I think that's a delicate thing I'd be really resisting strongly.
Stephanie also tells me we need to be happy in our own skin and accept ourselves before turning to the needle.
The only other factor is there could be a component in time of sort of addictive to it. I'd be slightly concerned about that in the long term for people if they start very early, that it will not stop and you always need that lift I see people getting these fillers quite a bit, and I have to be honest, they do look great with them. As I say, it's the old needles that put me off. But I've always felt I wasn't at that time where I would think of it, but I definitely wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't have any kind of moral positioning on it. I simply feel it's for you or it's not for you. But just be careful that you're not trying to be, I think for somebody, I would, as a therapist, I would be saying, be okay in who you are. Be okay in your own skin. If you're 32, you don't need Botox. And I know they talk a lot now about preventative Botox, which is in many ways not letting the lines ever come in. You know, and maybe there's more to that as time goes on. We have to be able to accept ourselves as we mature, and we're slightly on a losing battle, because in some respect, I know we always only want to look the best version of ourselves. You know, I don't think we compete too hard with others. We kind of know when we look great and we know when we look a little bit off. So it's about looking our best selves, I think. But I think you do have to be careful that you're not just denying the aging and the maturing and the things that need to happen as well. You know, there's just that aspect. But in broad terms, I think there's no turning back the clock on Botox.
Thank you for listening. Laura Donnelly presenting and producing this week's edition, filling in for Sean Defoe, with John Keogh as the series producer and Lachlan Hart on sound. Chat to you soon.